Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Quote now at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everybody, Lawrence here, and today we are bringing you another great show from the Fable and Folly Network. It's our pleasure to introduce The Land Whale Murders. The Land Whale Murders is set in an alternate 1899, where a pair of bumbling scientists turned private detectives are hot on the trail of a sticky mystery involving a nefarious candy corporation among the political intrigue of New York City. That's quite a lot to take in one sentence, so we suggest diving right in. The Land Whale Murders is a fast and funny podcast series for fans of Monty Python, Blackadder, pulp novels, Silver Age comic books, and much more. It's a hugely imaginative world. What we're about to play you is actually the first episode of Season 2, but Season 1 is out in its entirety, and you can find it, as you would expect, wherever you get your podcasts. So, here it is, for your delectation, The Land Whale Murders.
It's been a few years since the whale exploded near Castle Clinton. Eugene and Angus's new private detective business was a middling success. They called it Elemental Investigators. But tonight, they were not detecting. Rather, this night, they were guests at the inaugural ball of the new York governor, Theodore Roosevelt.
This is a top-shelf soiree.
Diplomats and dignitaries from the city, state, and even the wider world.
Look at these hobnobbers, hobbing knobs all over the place. Who's that fella?
I'm Duke Rock von Vinderland. Good to meet you.
Yipes, you can hear us?
Well, I'm standing right here.
But I'd put my hand to the side of my mouth in a most discreet manner.
And yet you're actually very loud.
He suffered ear damage during the war.
Ah, war, where boys become men and men become graves. A truer test of one's mettle doesn't exist.
Do tell. Which war did you fight?
What? Me? No. I'm royalty. Though I am an official ambassador of our colour.
Colour?
That's why I'm here. Most of these royals and rutters are here for the Great Exhibition. We all have national pavilions at the Fair of Past and Future. It's got to be quite the event. Since we were already in town, we were obligated to come, you see, at gunpoint.
That's right. I had the local militia threaten them. I wanted a big party for my inauguration. Bully! Good to see you, Eugene and Andrews.
Governor Roosevelt.
How is the private detective racket?
We think of ourselves more as personal assistants to those in need. Detective implies a certain level of skills that would be unfair to apply to Eugene.
Mostly we pester and bug people. We bug them so hard, we're a couple of buggers.
Stop.
We practice buggery so much.
Please stop.
Bugger them all. We could be a real pain in the rear.
Well, I think that's great. I'm a fan of buggery. What? Don't be such Americans about it.
Have one of our cards, in case you need some bugging.
It's oddly moist.
Yeah. Big pores.
Anyway, Governor Roosevelt, do you think the big stick will be here? His endorsement really sealed your victory.
He's busy doing something unrelated.
Of course, as we all remember, Governor Roosevelt was secretly New York City's first costumed crime fighter, the big stick.
But it wasn't just his endorsement. My heroics during the Spanish-American War are legendary. Eugene knows he was there.
I was.
Eugene then recalled the charge up San Juan Hill.
I'm stuck in an anthill!
Come on,
Tough Rider! The ants, they're biting! So much biting!
Ah, Ah, so many memories.
I still have the welts from the bites. After that, they put me on a ship and had me sail to the South Pacific because of my, quote, gross ineptitude.
You captured that island.
A month after the war was over?
Oh, details. That was great. Best 3 months of my life.
I wouldn't have even served if it wasn't for that mummy.
Eugene then recalled the mummy from the end of Volume 1.
The mummy!
Yipes. He's going to kill us. I think he wants to hire us.
In fact, he did. There were several people having illegal mummy parties where they'd buy a mummy from Egypt, unwrap it as a joke, and then grind up the mummy into powder and snort it. That's what happened to this mummy's friend, and so he hired Angus and Eugene to bring the culprits to justice. They did, and this brought them the esteem of the mummy community, and other mummies sought them out, including a mummy that was part of the collection of the Havana Museum of History.
That mummy was radicalized by Jose Marti and wanted me to go to Cuba and help free them from the yoke of Spanish rule.
Yeah, and he didn't want me to go because he was a misogynist.
People are complex. Anyway, I realized when I got there I had no idea what to do. And I was broke because they have different money there. So I picked up odd jobs fixing this and that. But I wasn't very adept at fixing. For example, when they hired me to fix the boiler on the main. And then the war started and the mummy was exploded by accident. Again, my fault. And then we won the war.
And that is the end of that regarding the mummy. Also, their secretary quit and joined a group of professional calf ropers. That about ties up all that. Rope. Ties up. Still got it.
Anyway, my Duke, you are looking dapper. Excited to see your pavilion at the Fair of Past and Future.
Yes, I've brought my country's greatest treasure.
Oh, this dress is pulling my kishkas in every direction.
Shindo!
Former Officer Doubles, you've made it!
Oh, thanks for the invite.
Well, you did help the Big Stick defeat the Enigmatist and his deadly riddles.
Oh, well, it wasn't that hard because the answer was 7.
That was quite an adventure.
What are you doing?
I thought I'd leave a pause for someone to remember it.
Huh, how about that? Anyway, this is quite the Sanoifcom. Half of the state senators are here, and 5/8 of the state assemblymen.
I think that's Assemblyman Grooms over there.
That's former assemblyman. Upon election, he was given so much graft, he immediately retired. It's the goal of many politicians to get enough ill-gotten gains to retire before doing anything.
Oh, well, he represents my district. Well, who's going to replace him?
Oh, either a corrupt Tammany Democrat or some hard-money Republican.
Or me.
You?
Why not me?
Can she even do that? You women cannot vote.
There's nothing in this rulebook that says a horse can't play faro. Or whatever we were talking about.
I, for one, think Shindel should run.
It's legal, because the idea never occurred to the founders since it was so absurd. But these are absurd times, and you are just the absurd woman to do this absurd job, former Officer Doubles.
So, you'd vote for me?
Heavens, no! But best of luck. Now, more mingling! Ah, Senator Thropson, how's that goiter?
I can do it! I'll be a trailblazer for my people, like the first Jewish congressman, Louis Levin.
I've not heard of him.
He was a staunch anti-Catholic nativist who had a mental break while on a train and later died in a hospital for the insane in Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah. Huh, not a glowing, endorsement.
Yeah, he was bad, but he was the first, which is good because less pressure on me. I can't be worse than him. Also, fun fact, he met his second wife while they were both shopping for tombstones for their first spouses. Can you believe it?
I guess that's fun.
I'm off to start my campaign after a few laps around the buffet table. Dig a zunt.
What a pistol. And that dress? Wish I could pull off an outfit like that.
How do you mean pull off? Actually, don't tell me. I don't want to know. But we should also mix. We might find some clients. Our caseload is a bit soft.
Did you say soft? I have just the soft drink to help. My nerve tonic.
Nerve tonic, you say?
Asa Candler from Atlanta, Georgia.
The Lost City?
The what now?
Don't mind him.
I bought the recipe from a pharmacist, and let me tell you, it's great.
Really?
No, not at all. I'm going broke stuffing it full of cola nuts and cocaine. You want to buy it? I'm selling it cheap.
A bottle?
The whole company, please. Please.
No, you're very clingy. And that's coming from me.
I was hoping having a booth at this fair of past and future would get my tonic out there, but with food bigwigs like Man Valentine and his meat juice and Flavius Flavors and his assorted candies, I'm probably doomed. I wish they'd finish building that skyscraper so I can jump off it.
You can jump off the Brooklyn Bridge.
Brooklyn? No, thank you. If you rubes aren't sap enough to buy my tonic, I'll keep going. Hey, you, your nerves look jangled. Please, please, don't turn away. No wonder we lost the wall.
He seems nice.
Does he?
I said seems, so leaving the door open like a good bugger. Like a good bugger.
Let's commingle.
And so they did. Eugene took some cheese cubes home in his shirt pocket, which he called his cheese pocket. The next day, Eugene and Angus met up with a client in their offices.
Madam Trump. You are the premier impresaria of the Crockendale Theater, where you perform an act in which your trained alligators dance across the stage to a live fiddle player. These saurians, though, recently had their legs broken by a culprit of unknown origin, so you came to us to solve this little mystery.
I know this already. Why are you summarizing my own story to me?
Because we bill by the hour.
That, and I was doing a bit of dramatic build-up. We caught the culprit, and he's down at the station house.
Who broke my dear reptile's extremities?
That was actually a fellow performer in your venue, the armless dancer, Ho-Ho Higgins. He was afraid your gavotting gators would muscle in on his earnings, so he got them in a knee lock and cracked their legs.
Bastard.
But he's been arrested. Case closed.
What case?
Your case.
This is a purse.
The case of the dancing alligator leg breaker. A case is what we in the biz call your problem.
Why not just call it a problem?
Huh. Yeah, good question. Wait, why not? Why not? The case of why it's called a case. Angus, question. Why don't we just call it a problem?
Because if people didn't have special linguistics and argots for their fields, it would make it obvious we all don't know anything. And then society would cease to function.
A case of the case closed, closed.
Now, Madame Champ, our fee.
As your advert said, you take all manner of payment. So, here are some fresh gator skins. Careful. They're still a bit bloody.
Ooh, that's too fresh.
Yeah, you may want to wipe that.
When we said all payments, we
can't hear you. Leave me out.
Right. We need to change that ad.
I shouldn't have pre-bought 12 years worth and told the paper absolutely no changes.
Our rent is due, and these gross skins won't cut it.
You're right. Job well done. Let's celebrate.
No. Eugene, I'm saying we're in
can't
desperate
hear you.
Need of-
Leaving now. Ta!
Why does that always work?
Why indeed? But Y is a crooked letter that can never be straightened. Not far from there, Eugene and Angus encountered an odd sight. A long line of people.
This is an odd sight.
Excuse me, sir. What are you online for?
Shut up.
I'll talk to you. I'm very lonely waiting in this line all by myself.
Nah, we'll stick with the unfriendly fellow.
Shucks.
Listen, pal, don't give us the bum's lip. Spill the sauce on this line.
I ain't telling you nothing.
I see. A real thug's worth.
Oh, guys, it's really not a big deal. You see...
Quiet, you! But you, first guy, you got one last chance before we put the hams to you. What is this line about?
Okay, I'll talk. We're online for a new kind of fried potatoes.
Potatoes? This line is blocks long.
Ain't no ordinary spuds. These are Frenched and fried.
French fried potatoes, and they're good?
Oily, greasy, salty, they're the best! Well, I think. Never had the chance to taste them. I've been online for 4 hours, but I read in Popular Things magazine that they are a must try. They got 6 dynamite sticks.
6? But they only go up to 5 dynamite sticks.
Exactly!
We must try these fries.
Why wait in line for food? There are plenty of restaurants with no wait.
If you want to miss out on the greatest thing, that's on you, Toots.
I'm on the line. Here I am. Hey. No cuts, no backsies. You know the rules.
I don't have time for this. I have a meeting of my women's entrepreneur group. It's for women who run businesses. The two of us are meeting shortly.
I'll stay here. This is important. I must try these potatoes. I don't know why, but I want this more than anything.
Meet back at the office later?
Hey, I'll see you there.
Not you. Eugene.
Me, Jean?
Yes, Jean.
With that, Anne just headed to her meeting. And Eugene stood and waited. And waited. And waited. The line barely moved. But Eugene wasn't the only one waiting. At the ladies' political offices, Shandell was trying to get the proper forms to run for state office.
Excuse me, is anyone at this window? I've been waiting for a very
long... No, but have this free ribbon.
I don't want a ribbon.
You can tie it into a bow.
No.
Oh, you'd be much prettier if you smile.
Excuse me?
More flies with honey, honey.
Isn't this a government office? Aren't you supposed to help?
You're funny. This is the government office for ladies. Here, you can talk about temperance, discuss war memorials, the things ladies do. And we have nice furniture and plenty of mirrors.
I want a form to run for state assembly. Why don't you give me that?
Look, women don't have rights, and if you can't vote, why should we listen to you if you can't help us?
Because you're the government of the people.
Have a ribbon. I already bowed it for you.
I'm taking this bow. Not because I want it, but because I am angry and want to take something. All this anti-woman vice-ish voice is getting old, real old. And look, this bow matches my eyes and I feel very pretty, but that doesn't make it so you can treat me as such.
Shandell stormed back to the waiting area and collapsed onto a fainting couch.
Ay, this isn't even a comfortable chair.
I know. Such a stupid invention.
What? Who?
Oh, I startled a native. Don't mind me.
Are you staring at me?
Indeed, she was. This was Kame, a member of the Japanese delegation. She was a hard-line Tsedo nationalist who viewed it as her personal mission to educate and civilize those she considered lesser, which was anyone who wasn't her. She wore specially made Western research clothes to keep her safe from the dirty, uncivilized world around her. I haven't been able to find out exactly what they entailed, but they did include a stick for, quote, poking. At the moment, she was very excited to witness Shandell attempting to navigate the perils of bureaucracy. Kame sidled up next to her and smiled, trying to appear friendly to this strange native.
You are confused. I am Kame, envoy of the restored emperor, also a researcher of primitive cultures. I was offered a chance to present at your fair of present and future. I am from the land of Japan. It's across the ocean. Did you get that? Ocean. Big water.
I know what an ocean is.
Of course. You are very smart. Yes, you are. But really, my goal is to write a self-improvement book to improve my people by telling them about your terrible habit. I enjoy telling people what they are doing wrong. You would look much
prettier. Enough! And also, stop poking me with that stick. It hurts.
Oh, I don't mean any dishonor. Look at you all. You are barbarians. You wear shoes indoors. You eat with small farm implements. Who came up with that? It's fascinating. I hope I didn't spook you so that you run off and hide in your cave.
I don't live in a cave. Though caves have high ceilings in my tenement room.
Yes, tell me about your silly little world. So stupid.
No. Hey, look at this city. This is a modern city.
Yes, it is. But that's probably because years ago, some ancient Japanese people came and built all this and then died and you all just moved in.
Our history is filled with...
I'm sure you have all sorts of myths and legends about how great your old tribal leaders were.
is so funny.
We opened Japan to the West. We forced you to sign terrible treaties and exploited you, see? Oh, wait, that's not good.
We only signed those treaties to help you. Because you needed so much help.
America is...
slavery.
Yes, that, but...
slavery.
Okay. It's hard to win the moral high ground with that.
You have potential. One day, you'll sit on the floor like educated people and it won't be dirty because you'll learn to take off your filthy shoes and learn that bowing is so much less disgusting than pressing hands together and shaking them for reasons that elude me.
You are very... are all Japanese like you?
No one is like me. Most of my friends back home don't like me. They said that
hey,
I'm...
Hey! Annoying lady!
Yes?
We found some papers in the back. You want them?
Are they in regards to filing for...
What do I look like? Helpful? Here.
Did you just throw the papers on
We're
the floor?
We're closed!
Hey, look!
Such fascinating local customs.
It's rudeness, not a custom.
I found rudeness to be a common custom in this dark continent. I should go. I need to eat. Luckily, I brought my rice from home because this sad land lacks such a wonderful grain.
Well, we have rice.
You have little white bits, but they are not rice. We should meet again. I'm interested in your foolish little quest to become a tribal leader. I'm staying at the little house on 57th Street and 5th Avenue.
That's the Vanderbilt mansion.
Is that those people? I just claimed it as my base of operation. It's nothing serious, you know? As a colonialist, I need suitable lodgings for my studies, and that hovel proved adequate.
But people already live there?
They are happy to share and open their home to a superior culture. It's they who are really benefiting. I'm a great person. Yes. Yes, I am.
Fine. Fine. So, when do you finish studying us?
Not till after the fair of past and future. I am to teach you all the art of sumi-e. It will raise up your non-volcanic island land to an almost respectable level. Sayonara.
Goodbye, I guess. I'm glad this mishigas is over. Now let's see about these forms.
And as Shandel tried to figure out the intricacies of filing for a political office, we move on to another office. I'm really on my segue game this chapter. Anyway, this office was the office of the other member of the women's entrepreneur group, Madeline Ellesmere, the Fudge Baroness. Her office was a riot of fudge-themed objects. Fudge-colored walls, a muddy brown as far as the eye could see. Currently, Madeline was dealing with a less than pleasant guest.
Tell your boss I'll never sell.
Mrs. Ellesmere, if you check the offer packet...
Stuff your packet.
Well, I did. With an offer. See, right there.
The man smiled, though there was no real joy in it. This was Cato Beach, the right-hand man to Flavius Flavors, the confection baron. Cato was tall and lean. His clothes were perfectly neat, but slightly out of fashion. His dark eyes sparkled. Born a slave, he'd worked his way up the ranks of society to his current position.
Your corporation doesn't understand fudge.
Fudge is a women's food.
It's a long tradition at Smith and Bryn Mawr to cook fudge over the gas lamps. I took that treat, and I turned it into a business. But only a girl of breeding and collegiate acumen has fudge in her blood.
That doesn't sound healthy.
Not literally.
Oh, I know.
They aren't actually black. Not that...
Huh.
You...
What?
I mean... But I don't care that you are. Rather...
Oh, well, whatever do you mean?
I supported the 16th Amendment. Gave you all the vote. Abolition. I'm for that. I voted Republican since Grant. You like Grant?
Oh, I think you'll find Onesimus Corporation would be a good steward in regards to fudge.
Please. I've seen what you did to Crumbly's Cookies and the Malted Milk Brothers.
Madeline! The door was... Oh. Who are you?
Cato Beach. Onesimus Sweets Corporation.
A toady for a slick corporate magnate.
Oh. You paint me malevolently. I am but a humble employee. Legatus non caeditor neque violator.
What?
Latin.
Euphemistically translated as, don't shoot the messenger.
I'll shoot whatever I like!
You do have that bow and quiver prominently displayed.
It's just for show. 'Twas my late husband's. He was shot with it. By me. Ruled an accident. But I don't plan to use it on you. Yet.
And with that, I go. Ladies.
That damned corporation. These businesses are like squids grabbing all they can in their greasy tendrils.
Actually, squids are not greasy.
Why must our every meeting devolve in discussions of the viscosity of animalia?
I'm more partial to flora.
Anne just brushed some hair from her milky white right eye with her artificial left hand. Both body parts lost to dangerous vegetation. But, as we know, she was a true lover of plants. And I do mean lover. But let us continue.
I do not mean to snipe. I put up a strong front, but I will probably fold.
No, fudge is your life.
Fudge was my life. But Onesimus' latest line of bonbons has already taken the lion's share of space in penny candy shops across the city. Also bakeries. They've introduced a new cookie. Chocolate chunk.
They sell both candies and cookies? Is that legal?
A molasses monopoly. Legal as an eagle, the most legal bird.
Ugh, I know. Eugene helped push the Legalize Eagles to be Legal Eagles Eagle Act through the legislature.
In any event, it seems businesses can sell as much of whatever they want.
But our group... I can't be a group of female entrepreneurs by myself. That'd be like Jim Froome, who runs the Popular People Club. Everyone hates him and his one-man club.
Fine. I won't sell. On a completely different, unsuspicious note, I want a trip to a secluded cabin upstate. I leave tonight.
Did you enter a contest?
Well, I don't think so, but I must have, right?
Congratulations, I guess. Now, let's talk business.
And so they did. Madeline then went on that vacation and was never heard from again. And upon looking over the contract for the free vacation, her lawyer noticed an odd clause. It said if she were to disappear mysteriously on said vacation, her company would be put to auction. And it was quickly bought by the Onesimus Sweets Corporation. But that's the future. Let us return to the past, which is our story's present. Eugene and the French fries, which after many hours, he'd finally purchased.
Oh, hot dilly.
Ow! These are piping hot.
I can't wait to eat them.
Oh, but hot. Ow, hot. Ow, thingies.
I just walk around and the breeze in my quick gait will cool them. There. Oh, nice pace, Eugene. Steady. Steady breeze. Ooh, an alley. The shade there will drop these potatoes core temp. They look quite cooled. Now, to just slowly...
Just as Eugene was about to pluck a golden fry from its carton, a hand appeared from the dark corner of the alley and slapped the fries from his hand.
My fries!
Mourn them not. I've saved your life. For you see, those fries were Frenched by the devil.
The Land Whale Murders is a Roy Gold production. It was written by Jonathan A. Goldberg with music by Matt Roy Berger. It was directed by James Oliva and mixed by Martin D. Fowler. Editing help by Hannah Fairchild. To learn more about the show, visit landwhalepod.com, but don't type in manpalebod.com because, oh boy, there's not enough eye bleach in the world. Yipes! So pallid. So pallid. Anyway, stay sticky and always toffee toward pudding.
I mean, the least she could have given us was boots. Or a purse. A belt. Ew, ew. Ew, ew, they're bloody. Ew. Least she could have done was some gator skin boots.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
Also,
Oh, Martha, look, the new season is coming. Get the snacks ready.
Okay, okay.
In a dangerous new world.
Wow, we can see the helicopters coming in. It looks like the teams are arriving for this season of Soul Survivor.
Live action role players will fight.
I'm Sequoia.
Just go.
I'm Myrna.
Grand Chicken in.
We agreed to just call me Sky.
Name's Dale.
I'm Cole.
Hannah.
To Bill.
I need the feathers for my arrows.
Sequoia, maybe you need to grab some things.
To outsmart.
Oh my god.
Wow. Well, look for us.
Not again.
To survive.
No, don't, no.
Facing Fate, Black Knight, available at facingfate.com and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts, beginning June 14th.
I don't know if I want to live anymore. I just want it to end.
A Dumb Dragons production.